First up, we are joined by the president of the Australian Mango Industry Association. Ben Martin is his name. Ben, the theme for this conference is celebrate, collaborate and create. Tell me, what do you think is the biggest, most exciting thing in the mango industry right now that is worth celebrating?
Yeah, hi Matt, thanks for the introduction. Look, there's a lot of things to celebrate in the mango industry at the moment. We're moving forward in a really good direction. We've got some really good unity within the industry from the grower level through the wholesalers, retailers, as well as consumers. So the collaboration that we have at the moment is really excellent, and that goes down to a lot of hard work that not only the team at the AMIA has been doing, but also the growers and the retailers. So they should all take their hat off for the position they're in at the moment.
There's been a fair few numbers flashed up on the screen today. One that stuck with me was about the growth in the industry. The value of Australia's mango industry up 53% over the last 5 years. Are growers, are people like you, Ben, are you noticing that in your back pocket?
Yeah, definitely. Each year shows its own challenges. Overall, the value has increased on the Australian mango, but I don't believe, you know, the growers are seeing that full 53% increase. And that could be down to different regions with temperature issues, weather conditions during harvesting and flowering and fruit set, down to the varieties that they're growing. So overall, the industry is moving forwards in a positive direction, but there still needs to be a lot of work done at both grower level and industry level to continue that growth and to take us forward into the future to be profitable for all growers in Australia, not just, you know, select ones.
Is the value up by 53% over 5 years purely because Australia is producing more mangoes?
Yeah, definitely. The value has increased, you know, due to the increase in production. We're over 10 million trays this year, which is an excellent figure for us.
And is that now the norm, do you think, from here on?
Yeah, definitely. It's only going to increase from there. Given all the new plantings coming on, some of the new varieties, growers are managing them a lot better with the new research and development that the departments have been doing. So the volume is definitely going to increase, you know, from here on in. There may be years where we have off-flowering years and it dips down a little bit, but in general, over an average year, it's only up from here.
So what do you think the key is to increasing profitability for growers?
Look, I think given that the crop is going to increase, you know, each year from here on average, we need to look at the domestic supply and the export supply. Now, export is very close to my heart and our own personal business. We see that given certain varieties, when they overlap with different regions, we need to have that export market there ready to go. As an industry, we're working on reviewing some of the market access protocols for the key markets to get a more workable protocol in there, which would open up more fruit out of Australia to be exported to these markets. In doing that, that should take away some of the glut that you see at different times during the year, which will benefit growers, you know, enormously.
4 years ago, when the conference was last held in Darwin, I stood here with your predecessor, Gavin Skerr. He talked about the export plan for the industry. By 2020, 20% of the crop was going to be sent overseas. That's next year. Are you even close to getting that one in five mark?
Yeah, look, we're not going to achieve that 20%, but we are moving in the right direction. And definitely with these export protocols that we're putting under review at the moment with the federal government, they will help us to achieve that result. It's a long process, but if we don't start the process this year, it's going to be another 5 to 10 years next year, you know, if we don't start now. So definitely we will reach that target, but yeah, honestly, I don't believe it'll be next year.
Are you worried about a mango glut coming in the coming years?
Look, I think if we get a few challenges, which we've heard today from retailers and growers, in hand, I believe we can manage the glut as such that people talk about during key periods throughout the season. If we do that, well, then it should minimise the effects that growers see. But also, going back to what I just spoke about, these market access protocols is a key to alleviating that gut glut.
If you're just tuning in, this is The Country Hour, broadcasting from the National Mango Conference, which has been held in Darwin this week. It's lunchtime. Our guest this afternoon is Ben Martin. He's the president of the Australian Mango Industry Association. Ben, let's talk about collaboration. One of the retailers got up today and said that the industry is doing an okay job at forecasting the crop, but there's a lot of room for improvement. He'd like to see not just numbers, but a better idea of the grades that are coming his way. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely forecasting is one of the keys to moving the industry forwards. The collaboration and the involvement of growers throughout all growing regions needs to get better, in my honest opinion. If we don't forecast correctly, we can't market the fruit correctly. And one of the retailers brought up the idea of breaking it down. Instead of saying there's 500,000 trays of mangoes coming this week, he thought that it'd be a good idea to say, you know, there's 250,000 trays of first grade, there's 200,000 trays of second grade, and there's 50,000 trays of third grade coming. I believe to get better transparency and to help the retailers and the consumers, we need to take that a step further and break it down into varieties as well. Because there is, when we say there's 500,000 trays of mangoes coming in 1 week, how do you decide if it's 200,000 trays of second grade R2E2s or, you know, 300,000 trays of first grade KPs? So that's the information that the retailers need to base their decisions on what they're going to do with their marketing plan to help us move these volumes to alleviate the gluts that we see on the markets at different times.
So can growers provide this information? Are they happy to provide this information?
The majority of growers are. However, you know, as a grower, I know I'm probably one of the growers that I'll get a phone call on the Monday morning and say you haven't put your forecast in yet for the week. So as an industry, we do need to work out a way that's easier for growers to do it and takes them less time. So that's a challenge that the industry needs to work on, but I believe it's something that we can do given the technology that's at our fingertips, you know, these days.
Now, just before I let you go, up next, we're going to be talking about the climate projections that have been provided to the mango industry, and it just all looks hot. The mango growing regions are forecast to get much warmer in the coming decades. How concerned are you about climate change, Ben?
Look, you can't ignore climate change. It is out there and it is happening. It's something as an industry we need to be aware of and help work with. And that's where the research and development part of the industry really plays a key role within the industry. You know, the researchers that we have in the different Department of Industries, they, you know, had a meeting yesterday up here on climate change and discussed a lot of good topics there. And there's a lot of things that growers can take out of meetings like that, and the different things that they can do on their farms with water management, with mulching under the trees, different pests and diseases that they're going to encounter in the future years. So,
thanks for your time on The Country Hour today. I'll let you go and get that lunch.
No worries, Matt. Thanks.